Good to see each of you here this morning. We'll be using our blue hymn books for this morning's service. Let's turn to Psalm number 235. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please, as we sing. 235. What shall I fear while yet thou dost lead? Only for light from thee I plead. Wow.
Amen.
All right, we're ready for announcements. Pastor, you want to go right ahead?
All right, so for those who haven't been here, July 3rd, so this coming Saturday, we got a church picnic over here at Patty Park, a little pavilion over there. Lord willing, we'll start around 12. We can go till midnight if we'd like to. I don't plan on being there till midnight, but if you want to stay there, we got it till midnight. So July 3rd, if you'd like to come, just sign up on the list up over here that you're coming. If you'd like to bring something, throw something down there. If you can't bring something, that's fine as well. Just come on out and enjoy some time together. Also, I have a membership list up here, a final membership list. So just look through it one more time. Make sure there's no mistakes. If there's no mistakes, then we're going to print them out next week and hand them out for our membership list. And then that's all I want to make announcements for right now. I think that's all I got. Good to see everybody here this morning.
All right. The only thing from me is up until recently, we haven't had to make this announcement, but we've had men who have been faithful in taking care of the church property and mowing and weed whacking, etc. We have somebody for next week, but we don't have anyone for this week, and it's understandable. People go away for the holiday weekend, etc. But if you're available and you'd like to help taking care of the church mowing, might want to do it either Thursday or Friday, so that way you're available on Saturday to go to the picnic. But if you're able to help, the sign-up sheet is here on the organ as well. And that's all I have. We now have a special.
Memory plays untold. stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes of gold. As I travel on life's pathway,
gentlemen. That was a blessing. Let's turn in our hymn books to 317, another song that is special to many of us. 317. instructs on the message. It's just a couple of pages over. 320. If you're able to stand, we'll sing this one as our final song.
Yeah.
just as I am, without one plea. See, the Lamb of God died for us this morning. The Lamb of God died for us this morning that we might be made free through Him. To have victory, as I said in Sunday school, just as you are, just come to Him just as you are. If you take your Bibles this morning, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to, Lord willing, here start a study through the book of Exodus. Lord willing, start here in the book of Exodus, chapter number 1, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Book of Exodus. Lord willing, we'll try to see how far through we can get and try to finish the book of Exodus as we're starting also the book of Genesis for Sunday school. But here in Exodus chapter number 1, the Bible says this: Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. Lord, thank you for the precious Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, I pray you'd help us now this morning. I pray you'd open our eyes. I pray you'd open our ears to receive what you'd have for us to receive out of your word. Lord, that you'd be glorified, that you'd be magnified. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So like I said, I'd like to try to study through here the book of Exodus. And this morning, Lord, we're going to look here at verses 1 through verse number 6. And the Bible says that these are the names of the children of Israel, which came in Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. First thing that jumps out of me here in this first verse is the names. It says, now these are the names of the children of Israel. And he lists them in verses 2 through 5. He says, you got Reuben, you have Simeon, you have Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All of Jacob's children, because Joseph was already in Egypt, came down and met him there, and they end up living and sojourning there in the land of Egypt. But the Bible says here, now these are the names. You know, one thing that amazes me about this book that I hold in my hands is how God records everything, and God knows everything from the very beginning to the very end. We're reading names that were names 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, way back. And here we are in 2021, and we're talking about Reuben, we're talking about Simeon, Judah, Gad, Naphtali. And as we go through the book of Exodus, we're looking at something that occurred so long ago, yet it's so relevant for today. Now look what it says. It says, now these are the names. God knows our names this morning. Let me ask you this question this morning. What could be said for your name? What could be said for your name? Everybody in here, I believe, has got a name, a full name. And unfortunately, recently, we've had to do some funerals. But when you go to a gravesite, what do you see? You see a name. Most gravesites you go to, there's a name there. Well, what did that name represent? Who was that person? What was behind that name? Who were they? You know, unfortunately, I had to do a funeral for our dear sister Kathy here, who lost her brother this past week. Please continue to pray for her, Miss Dory and Adam, that God would continue to comfort and strengthen them. But as I was there yesterday, I was looking at names. And you know, I try to think. When I go out, I try to look at things and I try to learn something from what's around me. And I'm in this mausoleum and I'm looking at all these names. And I'm thinking, who was this person? How did they live? What did they do for a living? Did they know? One of the first questions that comes to my mind is, did they know God in truth? Where are they now in eternity? And we're talking about some people who were born in 1835. What is it? What does your name represent this morning? What would others say about you and what you love? there's a saying that says your reputation precedes you. If I were to go to someone and knew you, and I say, "Hey, this person here," what would be the first thing that comes to their mind about you? What is behind your name? What does your name? What does your name represent this morning? The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. 1 Kings 4:34 says, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. You see, when the name Solomon was mentioned in other kingdoms, the kings there said, yes, we know Solomon. He's that man that has wisdom that was given to him by God. His name represented something. What does your name represent this morning? Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 32. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 32. What does your name represent this morning? Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse number 32. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 32 says this, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There's people who went through things here in Hebrews chapter 11. Some names are mentioned, some names are not. But God knows what they went through. God saw everything that they went through, and they continued to walk with God. And the Bible says there in verse number 30, not accepting deliverance. Look, there might come a time in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, it may cost us something. I was reading an article that came across my path this week. Need to pray for the pastors up in Canada. There's a preacher up right now still in prison. And they had a protest up there, a peaceable protest, saying that they should release him. But he had church. He said the COVID thing hit. He said, we got to have church. They barricaded his building. They put barbed wire around it. They set the state police around it. He said, we still got to have church. So a few of the brethren went out and they met in the woods. They sent a helicopter up after them and arrested them all. Now look, I've said this before with this stuff. You use common sense. You sick, you stay home. If you're not sick, we need to meet. Amen. Common sense. If you got the flu, you're sick with the flu, and you got a family, stay home. And stay home for probably 2 weeks. I don't want the flu. And I don't want COVID. But we also can't go to the other side. Like I said a few weeks ago, you can't go to the other side to where everything revolves around fear. Common sense. God wants us to be balanced, not too far to the right, not too far to the left. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to God. Balance. You can go too far to the right and you go too far to the left. And each side is a ditch. God wants you right in the middle, following him and using common sense. Now, if all of a sudden the black plague broke out, yeah, we might hold off on church for a while. Common sense. But you can't stop having church for a year. can't stop having church for a year. Common sense. You see, some of this, there's more behind it than just a sickness. Now, I'm not negating the fact that some people have died. I'm not saying that. I know some people have died. Like I said, this missionary that went down in Paraguay, I know Brother Manny Rodriguez, his name's over there. He was a missionary in Paraguay. There's a preacher down there that he was working with. His wife just died. Poof. You got a little 8-year-old boy. Pray for him. I'm not saying some things ain't happening. What I'm saying is you can't be dictated by fear. You got to trust God and you got to use common sense. Would you stop coming to church if there was a threat for you to be stoned? Don't say, Preacher Chris. No, look what the Bible says. Verse number 36. Would you stop coming to church because of verse number 36? And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Would you stop coming to church this morning if there was an opportunity the government would say, you're going to be thrown into prison? Would you stop coming to church? You see, that's pray for me. Pray for me. I hope I wouldn't stop coming to church. But you're the preacher. Yeah, I still got to deal with things too, brethren. I'm sitting in the same seat you're sitting in. Would we stop coming to church if there were trials of cruel mockings and scourgings? Or of bonds and imprisonments? Look what it says in verse 37. Now these are people who have gone before us. This is Bible. This ain't Chris Welton talk. This is what the Word of God says. They were stoned and sawn asunder. We're soldiers. We're soldiers. You see, the church has lived too much the cushy lifestyle the last 40 or 50 years. The church has lived in a bed of roses, but we've had precious brethren who have gone on before us from the time of Christ up to about mid-1700s, 1800s, who it cost them something there to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I don't slam the Roman Catholic Church behind a lot of it. Put a lot of Christians to death. Just read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I love Roman Catholics. I hate the system. You understand me? I'm not up here tonight, this morning to bash Roman Catholics. That's not my job. I hate the system. And the system has put a lot of people to death because of infant baptism and of the sacraments. This is Bible. It says in verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted and were slain with the sword. Look, would you follow Jesus today if you were to wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented? Would you still follow Jesus? If you had to walk out these doors and your house was shut up because they knew you were a Christian and you couldn't go back in there, so you headed off into the mountains, would you still follow them or would you turn your back on them? God, help me to answer that question, Lord, because, I pray I would do the right thing. It's easy to say from behind a pulpit, but when the rubber hits the road, what would I do? I don't know. I hope I would follow Christ. I hope I would. I hope I would be faithful in that moment of temptation and trial. I hope. I'm not up here blasting and saying, oh, this is what the preacher would do, and you need to do it too. No, I don't even know if I would do it. God, help me to draw closer to it. If that hour does come, God, I don't let you down. Help me to be like that preacher up there in Canada, be willing to go to prison, but still follow Christ. I don't want to go to prison. I've worked sometimes in prison. I know what's in prison. I don't want to go there. But we had brethren that went before us that gave us a good name for Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they were tormented, they were destitute, they were afflicted. But look at verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Glory to God. The world's never going to like you. If you're following Jesus, you want to know a little key. Remember I talk about these little red flags to mark the enemy's stuff? You know another little red flag? If it's highly esteemed among men, it's probably an abomination to God. If everybody and their brother is running after it and saying it's good, it's probably not good. Because that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. I'm going to give you something this morning. I don't know who all watches television here and all this nonsense, what a lot of nonsense out there. But listen, if some of you are watching that chosen junk, you need to turn it off and run away from it. That Chosen show has blown up. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Chosen is talking about Jesus. It's a story about Jesus, but everybody and their brother loves it now. Guess who puts it out? The Mormon Church. They don't believe Jesus is God. If Jesus is God, you're still in your sins. Yet why are all these Christians running out around about it saying how wonderful it is? Because they don't know their Bible. It's a lot easier to sit down and watch a movie for an hour than get in your Bible, try to study it and learn it and meditate upon it and know what the Bible says. You know why I'm standing here this morning? Because of what the Bible says. I ain't got nothing to tell you. I'm pathetic. I don't have anything. The only thing I got is what God's given me, and it's because of His Word. My opinions don't mean nothing. What does the Bible say? We can argue about opinions all day long. One can be right. Brethren, that's part of the problem with all this nonsense going on in the world today. You'll have one person over here saying this, and then you go over here, and this person over here is saying this. They're both experts. Who's right? Amen. This is right. Amen. This is right. How do I know this Dr. So-and over here, and there's 10 of them, and they're experts in this subject matter, and they say this, and then you got 10 other doctors over here who are experts in their field, and they're saying this, and I'm Mr. Nobody in the middle. Who am I to believe? I believe God. And I ask for wisdom. I ask for guidance. I say, God, help me to figure out which way to go with it and then follow you ultimately. Brethren, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You got the great white throne judgment over there for those that are lost, and you got the judgment seat of Christ. We're gonna appear before one of them. Hopefully it's before the judgment seat of Christ. But if you're lost, it's the great white throne judgment. Either way, there's a judgment coming. I'm here to encourage you this morning. I'm here to encourage you. We have a great heritage that's gone on before us. A great heritage. A great heritage. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. The world is not worthy. If the world is your friend, then you're an enemy of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you love the world this morning more than you love God? Do you spend more time in the things of the world than you do with the things of God? That'll pull out your heart. Where's your heart this morning? What's behind your name? Where's the heart? Where is the heart this morning? Next question to ask this morning, is your name written in heaven and in the book of life? Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter number 10. Luke 10 verse number 17. Is your name in the book of life this morning? Luke chapter 10, and look at verse number 17. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17. Luke chapter 10 and look at verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They come back to Jesus, they're glorying and they're rejoicing, saying, Lord, the devils are even subject to your name. But look what he says in verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, but nothing shall by any means hurt you. Look what he says though in verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why, Lord? What should I rejoice in, Lord? But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know why I rejoice this morning? You know why I was shedding tears this morning? Because when he was playing that song, I thought about myself. I said, Lord, why did you love me? Why did you save me? God, thank you so much for delivering me from my sin. God, thank you so much for saving me through your son, Jesus Christ. God, thank you so much, Lord, that I have eternal life. That's what I was thinking up here when he was playing that song. Thankful to my Savior. Thank you to that Lamb of God who is willing to take away the sins of the world. God manifested in the flesh. Is your name in the book of life this morning? Philippians 4:3 says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life this morning? Look back at Exodus chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 1, back over there again. Exodus chapter 1, and look at verses 5 and 6. So he talks about the names who went down into Egypt to sojourn with Joseph. But look at verse 5 and 6. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. What of your soul this morning, brethren? Where will your soul spend eternity? I don't want to hear or know of a past profession. I want to hear a present possession. I'll say it again. I can care less about a past profession. Do you have a present possession? Are you saved this morning? Well, preacher, I did this back. No, are you saved this morning? Does Christ know you and do you know Christ? Have you been born again? Have you been converted? Have you been made a child of God? What of your soul this morning? Where will you spend eternity? The Bible says here that all the souls of Jacob were 70 souls. And then it says in verse 6, and Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. As we go in here to the book of Exodus, as we're entering into this book, we find out that all that were there in the latter parts of chapter of Genesis are now passed away. They're off the scene. They've all gone on into eternity. Where will you spend eternity today? Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7 says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 100 and verse number 3. Psalm 100 and verse number 3. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Psalm 100 and verse number 3. Actually, look at verse 1. It's a good psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see that last part of that verse? His truth endures to all generations. What's truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus Christ is truth from this generation forever. Thou wilt, look what he says, and truth endureth to all generations. There is no excuse for any man or woman not to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what about that? What about that individual that's in the middle of South America and Brazil there that's off in the Amazon somewhere? How, they've never heard about Jesus. What about them? If they want truth, God will get it to them. You say, well, how do they know that they've never, they don't even have TVs, they don't have phones, they don't have nothing. How are they ever going to even know about Jesus? Well, maybe God wants you to go. Well, I'm too old. Can you still walk and talk? Brethren, if you can walk and talk this morning, God's not done with you. Well, I could never go on the mission field. I'm 65 years old. God might just begin to call you. You say, I ain't never heard preaching like that before. It's Bible. Well, I'm too old to go on the mission field. Really? Says who? Give me Bible on that. God doesn't send people after they're 60 years old on the mission field? You know a missionary I preach? Stephen and Laura Holt. He retired. He was in the Coast Guard. Then he got another job and retired. He decided to go to Bible college, down to a good Bible college down there in Florida, Land School of the Bible, James Knox. Wonderful school. goes down there, 60-some years old, finishes Bible college, and God calls him to go to Sierra Leone. That's where he's at right now. Huge, long, white beard. Wife, his wife had to come back home because she's got too many health problems. They're both serving God. She's still drawing pictures for him to take over there to show the people the gospel story. 60, in his late 60s now. I think he's almost getting close to 70. God didn't call him to the mission field until he was in his mid-60s. You see, we get in this mindset, well, because I'm old, God can't do nothing. God might just be getting something with you. God just might be getting started with something. Let him work in your life. He has a purpose for you. If you're still breathing, you're still walking, you still have your faculties about you, God can do something with you. Don't let the devil put something in your mind saying you're just washed up, you're just done, and you're just going to ride out the rest of your life. Let God do something with you. Well, we need more young people. No, we don't need more young people. We need people that will love God. I love you this morning. Would I like to see more young people come to church? Absolutely. But this is what we have, and this is who we are. God can still do something with it. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged in your mind. Let God work. It might just be the beginning of something wonderful that you would have never expected. God does things with small things. God's in the little things. God is in the little things. Let him work in your life. Let him work in your life. Zechariah 12:1 says this, the burden of the Lord for Israel, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. You have a soul in you this morning, body, soul, and spirit. And that soul is going to spend eternity in one of two places. What is your attitude towards your soul this morning? Take your Bible, look over at Psalm chapter 90. I looked at this yesterday at the funeral, and the Lord won't leave me alone on it. I read at the funeral yesterday that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay at the heart. That's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. But here in Psalm chapter 90, it's a cross-reference over there to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Because look at Psalm chapter 90 and look at verse number 12. Look what Psalm 90 verse 12 says. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Bible says here in Psalms this principle that God wants us to desire for him to teach us to number our days. For what purpose? What purpose are we to number our days? Because we only have a certain number of days left. We only have a certain number of days left, but we don't know how many. That's God's business. So teach our heart, God, help our heart to apply our heart to teach us to number our days, that so what? We can apply our heart to wisdom. Well, what does the Bible say wisdom is? Wisdom is Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians. He has made unto us wisdom. Apply our hearts to learn about Jesus Christ and what he would have us to do till he calls us home. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Why? Because it's better to go to the house of mourning than a house of feasting, because that is the end of all men. I was sitting there and I was thinking about her brother, and I'm thinking, Lord, help me to get a hold of this. Sister Kathy, I was sitting there and I was looking at that thing. I said, Lord, help me to get a hold of this right here. Help me to realize that someday if you tarry, Lord, I'm going in one of these things and I'm being dropped down just like this man's being. God, help me to get a hold of this. God, help me to use my days that I got left for you, Lord. Because this is the end of all men. You're not escaping it. And the living will lay it to heart. Lay it to your heart. Let God work in your life. Don't run from it. If God's showing you something this morning, don't run from it. Don't let the enemy put in your mind to make excuses. Follow Jesus. He has a will for you for your life. Are you in the will of God this morning? Are you doing what God wants you to do, or are you running from it, trying to do your own will, which will only cause you trouble and heartache and leave you empty? Your soul can be redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I'm almost done this morning. A few more scriptures here, I'm done. I want to look at this last part about, is your soul redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It talks about redemption through Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, look at verses 13 and 14. You say, what does the word redeem mean? Redeem means purchase of captured goods or prisoners. The act of procuring the deliverance of a person or things from the possession and power of captors by the payment of an equivalent. You see, Jesus Christ paid our ransom with his blood. We were in bondage to death and the devil, but Jesus Christ made us free through him. You see, he redeemed our soul from captivity. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And look what he did for you, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the Gentiles. Through what? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have been redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 26. 24 through 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans 3, 24 to verse 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare what? To declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, I said earlier in Sunday school, you can't keep your salvation. Why? Because Jesus is your justifier. You cannot be your own justifier because you're a sinner. That's why you can't keep it. That's why you can't keep your salvation, because you're a sinner. And a sinner can't keep the law. It's a false doctrine. You cannot keep your salvation. It's impossible, because you're a sinner. The only one that can keep the law of God is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that fulfilled the law of God completely. That's why death couldn't hold him. There was nothing there to hold. He was sinless. He was not guilty. But he took it upon us ourselves. He paid the price for us in his own body. The Bible says he became sin for us. Why? So that we can become the righteousness of God. You see, if you're saved this morning, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not you. It's all about him. He's procured it and he keeps it. Because you can't. You would lose it, like I said in Sunday school, you would lose your salvation in 1 hour. You can't keep it, so then you get saved again, and then you lose it again, you get saved again, you lose again, saved again, lose again, all within 5 hours. If you're honest, if you're honest, you can't keep your salvation. That's why Jesus Christ is a justifier. He justifies us just as if we never sinned. Propitiation. It's a big word, but it's not a big word. It says in Romans chapter 3 here, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in what? In his blood. What's propitiation? It means this: the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and render him propitious to sinners. You see, that's why the church won't go through the tribulation. His wrath has already been poured out on Jesus Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm no, the wrath of God no longer abides upon Chris Welton because I'm now in Christ Jesus. The wrath of God was poured out upon him 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. He fulfilled what Christ, what God sent him to fulfill. Therefore, if I'm in Christ, he's my propitiation. He took it for me. And if I'm in him, he's in me. I'm now in the church, which is the body of believers, which is his body. And if you read Revelation, it says, the Lamb poureth out the wrath. What, so he's going to pour wrath out upon himself? It's impossible for the church to go through the tribulation because the church is in Christ. And if, listen to me now, if the church goes through the tribulation, that means Christ didn't completely take away all of our sins. He didn't make a full atonement because more wrath has to be poured out. You know why people don't get on this stuff? They don't spend no time in their Bible. Oh, the preacher's making me turn to another. I'm not saying anybody here, please. Don't, oh. I have to turn to another scripture? He's making me look at another verse? Hey. We need to wake up. Amen. We're biblically ignorant. I'm not saying this church. I'm saying Christians are biblically ignorant. Yeah. I had a Christian man say this, that he's going to send someone to watch the movie Chosen rather than start witness to him through the Bible anymore. It's the Word of God. Oh, when's this going to be over? Can you shut up? I got lunch at home. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead. And this is the end of all men. You tell me what's more important this morning. The Word of God or your supper that's back at home?
Come on.
I love you this morning. But it's my job as your pastor to keep our heads screwed on straight and get ready for what might be coming. Do you understand? I don't know what's coming down the pipeline, but I know it's not good. I don't like what I see what's going on in China. I don't like what I see what's going on up in Canada. And soon enough, it's going to come to the U.S.
Yes,
where are we going to stand? Where is Chris Welton? Are we going to shy away and say, no, I want to keep my nice, cushy life? Or are you going to reject that and say, I want Christ Jesus no matter what the cost is? That's a difficult question to answer, and it's not easy. I like my life. I'm thankful for the house I got. I'm thankful for the food I get to eat this afternoon. I'm thinking about it while I'm preaching up here. My wife's got some spaghetti and meatballs back home, and I'm hungry too. So don't think what a preach. No, I'm thinking about garlic bread while I'm preaching this. The enemy's put in my head like, hey, you got that garlic bread back at home. You got some meatballs. I love meatballs. So I'm not saying, I'm in the same boat as you. I gotta listen to me. And I can't run away from it. You can go home. I can't leave myself. My poor wife, pray for her. She's got to deal with me and these poor children. I'm saying, where's the importance, brethren? What do we put the emphasis on? You see, God sees our heart. God sees our heart. Do we love him? I want to love him. I want to love Jesus. You know, we sang about a song, I Got a Mansion Over the Hillside. Nice song. I really don't care about my mansion. I want to see Jesus. And it's no knock on whoever wrote that song, so don't think I'm picking on whoever wrote I Got a Mansion on the Other Side. Yeah, eventually I'd like to go over and look at it, but I want to see Jesus first. Do you see me? I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one who's got the scars for all eternity in his hands for me, to where I can have a perfect body with no scars. Yet he'll have scars for all of eternity. And I'm worried about my meatballs and spaghetti at home. God help me. When I got Jesus, I got Jesus this morning. I got Jesus. I got eternal life. Do you have eternal life this morning? Have you received him as your propitiation? All propitiation is an atoning sacrifice. Look, he was the sacrifice offered upon your behalf. That's propitiation. Propitiation is he took your place. He was the Lamb of God that went on that cross, that shed his blood. He is your propitiation. He is your atoning sacrifice to appease the wrath of God because of your sin. It's all about Jesus. The last verse I want you to look at And we'll close up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. And Lord willing, I will pray after that. Unless the Lord says otherwise. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 21. Some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed, verse number 19, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Jesus Christ do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Do you see this morning, brethren, it ties in with Sunday school, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Faith and hope. I have hope. I have a living hope in a living God who loved me and cares for me. Jesus Christ. He's coming back someday. I'm waiting for that blessed hope. I'm waiting for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God. Someday Jesus is coming through those clouds to take us home. Will you be ready? What's behind your name? What's behind your name? What do you put the emphasis on? What do others say you put the emphasis on? Where will your soul spend eternity? You see all those souls there with Joseph and all that generation died. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. For this is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. Brother Les, I don't know if you're watching, brother. Bro, Les, I don't know if you're watching, but if you are, God's still not done with you. You could still be a testimony for him there on that bed.
Amen.
Keep living for God till he calls you home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. God, I pray you'd help me get a hold of this. God, help me to get a hold of this. Lord, help me to live for you every moment that I got. Help me to live, breathe, eat, and sleep, dear God, what you'd have me to do. Lord, help me to always be about your business, Lord. Lord, help me to decrease. Lord, help me to decrease in this flesh that you might increase, as John the Baptist said. Lord, help us to fix our eyesight towards heaven. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Lord, help me to set my affection. Lord, the times that my eyes wander, God, I pray you'd help me. Those times that my eyes wander, help me to get my eyes back fixed upon your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help this precious church. I love these brethren. Lord, encourage them. Lift them up. Lord, may they seek after your face, Lord. Help us to continue to live for you. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I'd like to close with a hymn, page number... If you could stand with me, if you're able to stand, if your health won't let you to stand, I understand. But if you can stand, let's sing page 339. I will sing the wondrous story. Page 339 in the blue hymn book. Thank you.
speaks to him, ministers to our hearts. Father, I pray that we take both the messages from Sunday school with them, this message here in church this morning. Father God, help us to take them home and to really absorb what your Spirit is trying to teach us. Help us to chew on your heavenly manna. Father God, that we could grow. Thank God for this church. Thank God for this church. Thank God for God's people in this church. What a blessing they are and how precious it is. So Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Father God, for our salvation. Lord, help us to live for you. Lord Jesus, died for us. Help us to live for you. Yes. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love you all. Your sister, Rosie.